It's the Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Wes Durham and Dave Archer here alongside. Smitty, explain to the fan, and I try to do this during the broadcast, some teams have, here in the first four games have had some success running the football against us, against the Falcons, in the nickel situation. And it's advantageous from a number scenario. Kind of run that down, walk through that for the fan.
Yeah, when you get into nickel situation, you're usually facing three wide receiver sets, or you're facing teams now that have the two tight ends, and one of the tight ends is basically a wide receiver or is just as athletic. So you're going to end up, the formations that they're going to, that you're going to see is you're going to now see six-man boxes. There'll be six defenders close to, you know, close to the line of scrimmage in the box between where the tight end and the, you know, tight end box. And if the seventh element's down there, then you know you've got one-on-one out there on the outside. If it's just six, then there's probably a two-deep shell like you were talking about earlier, and you get that two-deep look, two-deep safeties. Now you've got the numbers in your advantage, and you should run the football. It's real simple. It's really, it's just math. It's simple math because there's only 11 guys, and, you know, most of us have a good understanding of, we got one more or one less than they got.
Well,
it's not calculus.
No, but then you add in, and Smitty's being kind here, then you add in the mix of, okay, the guy's going to blitz off the slot. Now they're rocking a safety out of the two-deep look down into the box,
yep,
trying to do that just before the snap as you're trying to delay to get in the right play. So as much simple math as there is, there's some complicated stuff that gets a little sideways.
There's some very complicated stuff that, you know, but so many people think, oh, it's just 11 guys out there running and, you know, running and tackling, and it is a little bit more complicated, and our guys have done a nice job, and you've got to know that based on how the protection's set, if they bring that the nickel off the slot, is the receiver hot in this protection, or do we have them accounted for based on what our protection is? Are we sliding it open, sliding it closed? So it's
a little bit more going on.
Than the simple math count.
When we get to moments like yesterday in the final minute, and I don't ever want to think of it as old hat, even though it's kind of happened a few times in the last 5 years. What mentally, confidence-wise, are you thinking we just need to make a play and we can win the game?
No doubt. Go into that drive knowing that we've
whether
just got to
make
first
play or not.
That's
right.
Yeah. You'd like to do it on the first play, and we were able to do that yesterday. But you've got 50-something seconds, 52, I believe it was, 49, 52, somewhere in that area. You've got to make a play. We know we've got to have a chunk play to get the ball down there in field goal range. And when we say a chunk play, we're talking about a 25, 35-yard play. You know, if you have two of those, then you're going to be close to field goal range. And we were able to do that. We were able to block it up. We protected our edges. I thought that it was well designed by the coaching staff. And Roddy was able to get behind the safety. And Matt just launched it, and it was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch.
Is there a moment for you, and I think the fan would enjoy hearing this, is there a moment for you, okay, you put everything away, you put the game to bed, you're not watching any more film, you go back home, you sit down and get you a beverage of your choice and sit down. Is there a moment where a smile comes across your face knowing that the message you've been trying to get across, that you're never out of a game, and certainly you've built a team, you got players that can make those things happen? Do you ever have that moment where you can just kind of smile to yourself? No chest bumping or anything like that. Just smile to yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think that you have those moments on the sideline, believe it or not.
Okay.
I felt when we were going to, you know, when we got the ball on the 2-yard line, we're going to win this ball game, and that's the attitude that you have to have. And I believe that our guys believe that, and I know that it starts with the guys out there on the field, Matt calling the play and saying, hey, we're going to make this play. And from the coach, you know, from the coaching side of it, you've got to make sure that everybody understands, hey, we're going to win this game. I heard it 7-8 times before we ran that first play on the last drive of the game. And defensive players, offensive players,
right,
we're going to win this game. And when you have that mentality, I think it helps.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's almost something that's not born yesterday. It's crafted years ago, maybe 2008. It started a little bit. But through the years, you guys have picked up that momentum of, even in these situations, we've got that belief. And that's better than not having that belief.
That's right. And the great thing is that we've done it before.
Right.
It's not like this is the first time that we've been in this situation. We've been in it a number of times, and more times than not, when we've been in this situation, we've been able to overcome it. Even when it looked like it was not going to happen, we've been able to get it done.
More coming up with Coach Mike Smith, the Falcon Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing. We're live at Flowery Branch. Don't forget, Matt Bryant will join us in our second half hour in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. You can text us, the U.S. Auto Sales, tell us text line at 77530 for a question from Matt Bryant, who kicked his 13th career game winner yesterday. When we come back, SunTrust Bank, defensive solid play of the game, and more from Flowery Branch.
Did he cough up the football? He's standing up out of the stack.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get it, call Star NFL, NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
And our SunTrust Defensive Bank Solid Play of the Game brought to you by SunTrust. Help you stay in control of your money. SunTrust, live solid, bank solid, with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Falcon head coach Mike Smith with us. The Falcon Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing. All you can do is a term that – the more you can do is a term that we often hear in preseason, guys trying to make the team and that kind of thing. Joe Hawley may get the more you can do, right, or all you can do. Yesterday he lines up as your new 305-pound fullback, right? And Lusaka Polite was down, and you just told them in your press conference, we had to find a fullback.
That's correct.
Little did we know he'd be wearing 61.
Yes. I thought Joe did a real nice job. I tell the guys your roles are always changing because of injuries, because of the play in front of you. And he did a really nice job. Came in, we put together a little package where 61 lined up at fullback, and he really took to it and did a nice job in practice, and we felt like it was something that we wanted to have in this week's game plan.
Smitty, how hard is it to do the self-scout thing within the game? I find it really interesting that you guys come with a different – here's a package that no one had ever seen before. Yet you out of the big package, you play action and throw out. I mean, how much are you conscious of that, saying, okay, we got to make sure we paint a broad spectrum picture with this, but yet you still want to be successful at what you're doing?
Well, I think you have to not give your opponent tendencies, so you've got to be able to do multiple things out of it. If you just run the same a package out there in one grouping and you do the same thing over and over, they're going to get tendencies on you. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to go in. You've got to go into the week, even if it's a six, if it's a six play package, if it's a 14 play package, you've got to be able to do a lot of different things out of it, because you don't want to give those guys an opportunity to tee off on you if you're only doing one thing.
The balance in preparation obviously varies from week to week. Defensively, we touched on this last week. Cam Newton this week, Robert Griffin III now coming up next Sunday. As you look at it, totally different physical gifts, but yet the same quote-unquote mobile quarterback. A lot of rules apply. Is there some carryover here? Good and bad from this week goes to next week,
we can
week,
take
right?
some good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things that we didn't do too well, we gave up a lot of explosive runs. It'll be a different package because they are similar, but there will be some differences in it. You know, Robert Griffin III does not have the stature and height that Cam Newton does. I think they both throw the ball extremely well.
Right.
They want to put together an offensive package and present it more times than not, where the quarterback has to be accounted for in the run game, and that does create issues for defenses. So we'll have carryover because we're going through the same type of offense. It's not the same offense, but it's the same type. And the thing that stands out to me with Robert Griffin is he's got the number 4 passer rating in the NFL through the first 4 weeks of the season, and 9th in passing yards. So we're sitting here talking about he can run the ball and all that, but he's been very effective throwing the football. He's completing almost 70% of his passes, over 1,000 yards already through the first four games. They're a very potent offense. Coach Shanahan and his staff, they do a great job in game planning, and you can see that they have a specific thing that they're trying to get accomplished early in the ball game. And the guy that's doing a nice job for them is the running back, Alfred Morris.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a rookie. He's got 82 carries, I think, through four games. So, and I believe four touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So he's got two, a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back, and they're a very good football team. I was really impressed. They were the 4 o'clock game. I got home in time to catch the last two or three minutes of that ball game. Very impressed how they went down the field almost methodically, just like that, on that last drive to kick the winning field goal, the kind of field goal to win it.
Head Coach Mike Smith's radio show right here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Dave Archer, West Durham. Smitty, you can't make a comment on the first four teams that Washington's played. And in generality, can someone maybe misstep or misunderstand what a guy can bring to the table? And I say that as a Robert Griffin you were just talking about. I think Robert Griffin is a better pocket passer than the guy you saw last week. I mean, this is a guy that I think everybody sees him move around and saw him run 4.3 at the combine, and all of a sudden, wow, here comes Michael Vick. Well, this guy just moved the ball methodically down the field against Tampa Bay in that last drive to get him in field goal range. Can you misdiagnose a guy?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's misconceptions sometimes on what the strengths of certain players are and what their weaknesses are. He can run the ball very well, but he is a very accurate passer, as the statistics show, and he can sit in the pocket and cut you up if you give him time. And he's got a stronger arm than you think too. So it's going to be a big challenge for us. There's some similarities, but there's going to be a lot of differences. And Coach Shanahan is going to, call a completely different game than what we saw last week. But there are some flavors that are in both of the offenses that we're seeing this week and last week.
Now, you guys are playing home away all season long. Now, every time you go on the road, you play a 3-4 team. Is that the way it works? Home, play 4-3. I mean, it's unbelievable that they've mirrored.
Yeah, well, through the first part of the season.
Every that's time what, on the road, it's a 3-4 team. Nice.
Hey, we're facing, Coach Haslett and his 3-4. It's very multiple. He's got some very creative fronts that he'll present, some exotic looks. He's been a 3-4 guy basically for his whole career. He worked, he's come out of the Dom Capers, Pittsburgh tree there with Coach LeBeau. So they're gonna have a bunch of different looks. It's gonna be very important for us to be able to ID the looks in the fronts and try to identify who the known rushers are, and then when those known rushers are now become droppers, we're going to have to be able to be on top of it, not just with the offensive line, but with the running backs and the wide receivers, because they all are part of the process in being a very successful pass protection team, and we've got to make sure that we all are seeing it the same way.
Here in our final couple minutes, you finished the first quarter of the season yesterday. And you've been very big since you got here about the quarters, four games. That mentality has served you well. It's obviously fallen to your team because players refer to it on a regular basis. And I know that makes you feel good because that's message delivered in terms of the philosophy you want. How important is that philosophy when you get off to a start like this? And you just mentioned in your press conference, you've got the segment of the AFC West in one division game. Now you're going to play the NFC East and clean up the AFC West piece of it. And then the back two quarters will be almost within the division, so to speak, the NFC South.
Yep.
How important is that four-quarter mentality when you can break apart a schedule like you have here?
Well, I think it's very important. And the reason that it's very important is you have to weigh your games. And we know that division games have the most weight. Conference games the next, and then the non-conference games are probably the least weighted. You want to win them all, but you want to make sure that you're playing your best football when you're playing in the division and in the conference. And we're basically, as we go through this second quarter, we're going to be in the NFC East, like you said, in the AFC West, and then the last half of the season, we're going to be playing five of our division games. We'll have only played one division game in the first eight games. So We look a little bit ahead, but right now our focus is going to be on the Washington Redskins and a feel for the NFC East over the next 4 weeks.
All right. Smitty, thanks as always. Appreciate the time. We'll see you on Sunday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
In all honesty, first time in the last 20 years somebody's gone that far in under a minute to win a game without timeouts, according to Elias.
Well, you and I have been fortunate enough to see, you know, the bench throw to Jenkins with 8 seconds left on the clock to beat Chicago. And it's the same guy that we're going to have on here pretty soon. Matt Bryant, the kicker, is the guy that hit it that day. So he has had a knack for knocking it through the uprights when you need it the most. And certainly did it again yesterday with and I asked Matt after the game, and we'll let him tell you, but I asked him after the game, he says he's firmly and expected to have a chance to kick a field goal to win a football game. So and here he is, Matt Bryant.
Good to have you. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much. Oh, yeah. We got a lot of ground to cover here.
Okay.
13th career game winner yesterday. Twitter. You and Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
How you basically were signed up by Bosher at dinner is what I've been told, right?
Yeah, I'm still learning all the nuances to everything.
Yeah.
Whenever same thing happened to me. He signed me up for it. I haven't forgiven him for it since.
I still try to figure out whenever I'm reading something, you know, there's all the hashtags and this and that. And you're just like, well, who really said what in this? And I just kind of.
And then the other part is this alligator whisperer thing.
Yeah, that thing is taking off.
So we got a lot of ground to cover. But first, what'd you think yesterday? Hey, I'm going to get a chance. When the ball's sitting at the one at the other end with 59 seconds left, you're thinking, number two will set me up again.
Well, at first I'm thinking, man, that's on the 1 yard line. I kept waiting for the replay for them to, hopefully the guy touched the end zone and bring it out to the 20. Like it never happened. So you're sitting there, it's like, man, we gotta go 9. You think 99 yards,
right?
With I think there was what 58, 59
seconds. 59
seconds,
yeah.
And then we didn't have any timeouts, I think.
Right.
So and then when Matt threw up that bomb. It's like, all right, we're in range. here we go. I was mentally preparing myself for a 58-yarder. As soon as he threw that, I was like, okay, it's going to be a 58-yarder to win it.
Wow.
And because, even though we had time, I guess part of me was thinking that, okay, I started to play coach's mind. All right, we don't have any timeouts, so we're going to have to throw out routes, I was thinking. Mm-hmm. So surely those guys are probably going to cover the out route.
Yeah, you'd think they would. That's what I thought. Yeah.
But I mean, we got another
19 or 19.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, anyway, it just turned out to be a 40 yard field goal. And it becomes, it's like we were talking about after the game, whether it's the 58 yarder, 40 yarder, extra point, first quarter. Whatever scenario is, I try to approach every – if I'm kicking an extra point,
right.
I'm trying to kick a 60-yard field goal.
Sure.
If I'm kicking a 60-yard field goal, it's just like I'm kicking that extra point. I want everything to be the same all the time. Mm-hmm. So whether I'm kicking the net, whatever it is, I always try to approach everything the same way all the time, so that's the way there's no surprises.
Matt Bryant is with us. Of course, he's in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. He'll get a Buckhead Beef gift certificate. He and his family have the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is, and he definitely deserves it.
Wes, you and I talked about how important it was and how neat it was that he and Bosher went through with the kick. And, Matt, you mentioned something last night that I'd failed to talk about was it might not have been you and Bosher that were the two guys that were nervous. Your snapper, that was his first situation in that scenario. So you guys went ahead and kicked it even though they burned the timeout.
Well, there's all kind of new scenarios in that kick. I mean, this is realistically, this is only Bosher's second year to be holding. Mm-hmm. All his life he's been the kicker, the punter.
Right.
He's done – so, last year was his first year to hold. And Joe made it easy for him last year. This is Josh's first year in the league, and so with Josh being a rookie, We go over these scenarios with Coach Armstrong during the week. You know, we always say, listen, no matter what, there's maybe people blowing whistles. The building may be falling down around us. But no matter what, we're going to snap, hold, and kick. Mm-hmm. And they blew the whistle early. And I heard it, but I still looked at Boscher and said, go. And, gave him a sign. And I was hoping that that Josh was going to go ahead and, snap it, snap, hold, kick like we've been talking about. Because if nothing else, that snap was important. I think it was more important for him because, all right, this is his first chance to snap a game winner in the NFL. Granted, clap my hands to the SEC, but this is the NFL.
Well, and he snapped one for a national championship, against Oregon. But realistically,
you're right. Remember last week?
Yeah, I remember.
They'd had a screw-up last week just on an extra point attempt. Yeah. So this was big for him.
So for him to go ahead and snap it, see the snap, Boscher put it down and kick, Boscher after the game, that's my first game winner to hold, to be a part of. So, everybody, those two got to be a part of something that, I've come to expect for myself from the get-go, and, doing enough times around here, the people around here expect for me to do it. So for those two guys to be a part of it was good. Like you said, I think that was really important for Josh to experience that because, it's like we try to, I try to help the young guys, those two especially, mentally, is that it's so much what we do is mental. Mm-hmm. And we don't really get a chance to do over. We don't get 40, 50 plays. You may mess up a couple plays here, but you get a chance. You get one shot. There's not too many do-overs with what we do. So, like I said, it was good for the unit to be able to operate like that and help the team out.
Matt Bryant with us in our Buckhead Beat Player Spotlight, the coach's show presented by Superior Plumbing here from Flowery Branch. Do you think about – the mechanics, and you mentioned this is an important part of it, and I think it sometimes gets lost in the grand scheme, the mechanics of a Josh Harris or a Matt Boscher. Harris, a rookie free agent, Boscher's second year. You're the crafted veteran here, and yet, we talked before, you've got a journey to this. Do you value this a little bit more the longer you get in your career because of the way you've kind of come back to it?
I approach every week, I just want to do good today so they'll let me come back tomorrow.
I understand that.
From my rookie year, I remember I stayed in a hotel for the first 6-7 weeks of the season. And I was like, well, maybe you can go ahead and get an apartment now. I didn't buy a car until halfway. It was funny because I'd come to work, and you got all these BMW, Mercedes, and all that stuff. And I was in a Ford Focus rental car. With one hubcap missing. So you go to a player's parking lot, you see all these cars, and then me pulling up. It's like, what is that cat doing here? Mm-hmm. But, so since then, no matter, like I said, since a rookie to this point now, it's, I just want to do good so they'll let me come back and play next week.
As part of it, I play a lot of golf and read some books. I read Ben Hogan used to talk about on game day or when I go to the golf course, I know I'm going to compete, I do everything at the same speed. I get up, I walk out, I open my trunk the same speed, put my stuff in the trunk, shut the trunk at a speed, I walk around to my car. I mean, is it that mental in that kind of situation where you lock in? You're in your own scenario. Is it work at this similar speed? Because I notice how you walk off the field. There's not this jumping up in the air. We don't get the Martin Gramatica crap, You do the whole deal where you walk out of speed and you come off. Do you consciously do that?
I just try to be me, not do anything, just try to be me.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to try to say, okay, all right, remember to do this or right. Remember to do that.
Yeah.
It's just go out there and do what you've been doing since you were 8 years old or whenever I started.
13 game winners is there anything different about them? Because you say you make it all the same, so it's not any different than kicking one in the first quarter. Obviously, there's the impact of winning a football game and guy picking you up off the ground or jumping on top of you. But is there one that stands out in your mind, or are they all pretty much the same?
Well, obviously, probably the 62-yarder.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Going back to 2006. just because, you know, it's just the magnitude of
right.
Kicking
a 62-yard field goal. A lot of circumstances attached to that, yeah, no question.
But, you know, they're all the same. You know, the main thing for me, I think about it's like I just don't want to feel the other side of that coin. You know, I've managed to, I think I'm 13 for 13 on game winners. And it's just the will, you know, so far, it's the, I guess, you know, part of me is the willpower of just, I just don't want to feel what it's like not to make it. And so I think that's just kind of what drives me.
I love it.
Matt Bryan is with us. Of course, the Falcons and Redskins gives you an opportunity for the Baylor reunion this weekend. The most a Baylor alum and player with the most noted of the Baylor alums and players, right? Because I got to believe that RG3 has probably done as much for Baylor as anybody, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, that guy is a great athlete.
Yeah.
1 minute.
And I think he's going to make himself into, you know, probably a great quarterback. I think he kind of put Baylor on the map. I would say so. We had good teams back then, but we just had too many things going against us.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see the guy. Tell him hello. You know, give him a sick'em Bears.
You know, the Brittany Griner camp really feel like she put him on the map, not RG3. So she begs the difference.
We're going to take a break with Matt Bryant. When we come back, if you don't know about the alligator whisperer, you'll hear about that.
Yes.
That's and then also how he and the director of the film Prometheus have become friends on Twitter very quickly. That and Matt Bryant on Twitter, which is a whole story unto its own. It's more than just football here on the Coach's Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, back after this.
Snap, spot, kick is away from Bryant, and it is good! With 5 seconds left, Matt Bryant hits a 40-yard field goal.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience football on Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you the game.
All right, Matt Bryant with us in our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight. We'll get to your U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line question at 77530 here in just a minute. Matt, now on Twitter. Now, whether you're on Twitter or not, the origin of how you got to Twitter might be the better story, because is this these young guys influencing you again, Bosher and Harris and all these cats?
Well, yeah, Bosher. I'd make fun of him all the time about, you know, doing that stuff and saying whatever, but it's but now he got me on it. I figure, you know, everybody else is doing it. I just kind of play around with it, and that's also taking on a whole nother story in itself.
As you as the years continue to add up for you play in the league, how different are the young guys coming in now than when you came in your year? When you were a young guy?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, because whenever I was, I mean, I see now, I mean, I've seen stories, and you try to tell these young guys, when a young guy comes in, I mean, unless you are a Witherspoon or a Julio, these young guys got to understand, just because I'm associated with it, is the whole special teams aspect of it. And, you know, great story was whenever I was a rookie, the fifth string quarterback, because back then, NFL Europe, you were allowed to have, if you went to NFL Europe, then you were exempt from the whatever 90 guys that were allowed to go
right,
to camp.
Right.
So I wasn't even given a chance whenever I went to camp. With the Giants back in 2002, and they gave me the fifth string quarterback to be the holder, because they didn't really want the start. They didn't want the starting holder to even have to deal with me. So they gave me the fifth string quarterback, and he ends up going in the last preseason game and playing a wing on punt. And you know, during the preseason, everybody, guys are going to return punts and they probably shouldn't, because they're trying to make a team and all this other stuff. So the punter punts it up, hangs it up there, and the guy goes to return it, and he about breaks him in half. And he goes on to be like a, you know, number three guy for a tight end for like 8 years in the league, because he went down and covered a kick.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't go down and cover a kick and he doesn't take it seriously, then fifth-string quarterback doesn't last too long.
No.
So anyway,
probably pumping gas somewhere.
So that's the main thing you see with these young guys, that is to – I mean, this is a business. It's a game, but it is a business. It is a livelihood. You pay the bills with this, and you try to let these young guys know that, you know, special teams is important. I mean, it's a third of the game. I mean, look at last night. The last play of the game was special teams. Returning kicks out to the 30 or 35 yard line, that's big. I don't know what the stats are or the specifics, but Coach Smith says, and Coach Armstrong, your chances of scoring greatly go up if you can get out around 30 or 40, if you start a drive. If you're starting to drive around the 20 or inside the 20, then it's tough to get any points out of that.
Matt Bryant with us in our Buckhead Bee Spotlight. Okay, where did Alligator Whisperer start?
In Tampa.
Yeah?
Just sitting around watching National Geographic or whatever. They were showing something about alligators.
Yeah.
About babies making this sound. And a lot of times, if a mother alligator is around, they'll come to check out, see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a male alligator, they'll come to see what, if it's not one of mine, then it doesn't need to be here, and I'm going to get rid of the sound,
Right.
So I was like, I can imitate that. And there was a retention pond out behind the house.
Uh-huh.
And there was a little gator in there. And my wife, she was at one end of the pond. And she started walking back towards me. It happened to be the same time that I was making the sound. And he started coming. I was like, Melissa, stop. And so she stopped. The alligator stopped. I was like, he's just following her.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the sound again. And he came to me. I was like, maybe I got something here. And so then it was just like, you go play golf, and then half the time you're trying to make the alligators come to you. Your round's gone bad, and now you're trying to make your alligator call better.
All right. Now, Algie Crumpler told me y'all were together this spring in Hilton Head, and you did it on cue.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't believe all this until I saw him do it live.
Well, most people don't until you actually do it. It was me, Algie, and Coach Hill.
Right.
We were together. And, I brought up a pretty good size one up to us. And then we went to Mr. Blank's house, and I got to show a few more people the little trick.
Mr. Blank like it? Did he see it?
He didn't see it.
He didn't see it. Well, I think that's something you need to show Mr. Blank. So give us a little sound. Can you do it?
Yeah, I can do it. I don't be too loud.
Alligators are coming up 85 right now.
Yeah. Now, from what I understand, you had a little freshwater croc came up out of it? Is that a different sound?
Saltwater croc.
Saltwater croc? Is that a different sound?
No, it's the same one. That was the whole joke. And I was messing with the guy, but they ended up being the big printup of the story was that I can talk Spanish to alligators.
That's right.
And it's like they don't know if they're in Jamaica or Georgia or whatever else.
It's a multilingual croc.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm always amazed with you, Brian. I mean, it's a fascinating visit every time we get to do this. Now we're the alligator whisperer. We forgot that going.
Uh-huh.
The Twitter thing. You and the director of Prometheus back and forth on Twitter?
I haven't heard from him lately. I guess maybe.
Archie, have you seen the movie?
I guess maybe he figured out he couldn't ice me. So.
Yeah. You were watching it on the plane, right?
I was. I'd seen the previews of it, and I was kind of skeptic of it. And then I saw it, and then I was like, I've heard mixed reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got on the, I was like, I'm going to watch it anyway. So I watched it, and I didn't know that it was, I guess it is set up to be kind of the prequel to
right.
Aliens.
Right, sure.
I didn't know that. Oh, and so as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, this guy better not make this part of the Aliens. Because the concept of it was, I thought was pretty neat
right.
with what he had going on, with the whole concept of the movie. The people wanted to meet their maker. And then at the end,
yeah.
she has a chance to go back And she says, no, I don't want to go back. I want to go find these where they came from so I can see why they don't like it so much.
Right.
And I was like, ain't no way this movie's over with. I was mad. I was like, you know, there better be more to this. And so when Jay Adams was tweeting about it, yeah. And I was like,
2 minutes.
I was like, it's going to make you mad. It made me mad. And so then it just kind of took off from there.
Hey, when you see what Billy Cundiff went through last night in that late game, I don't know if you saw any of it or not, but he misses, like he missed his first two or three, and then hits the game winner. Actually gets a 49-yarder to win the game and beat Tampa. Do you can you separate your feelings of what you do kicking and kind of get involved with what they're thinking about? Or what goes through your mind if you see that kind of stuff? When it's not you. You know, you're watching somebody kick.
When I'm watching somebody kick, I don't know, I guess I really don't get into it. Because there's like I said, there's so many things that go into a kick. I mean, with the snap, the hold, you know, it's a process. It's not just you getting out there. You know, it's like in the whole Green Bay, New Orleans game. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes a 43-yarder, holding, moving back. Then the offsides move him up, and then he misses it wide left. I mean, it's just you sit there, and I guess not a whole bunch. You know, you don't want a guy to miss it, and but sometimes whenever you're on the other side, the other side of the field, it's like, well, hopefully he misses it. So, but
Matt, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime.